It's 3 o'clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at three. Number one.
The Astros couldn't score in the 10th and the 11th, and then they only score one in the 12th after the A's scored two in the top half. Frustrating loss tonight to start this series against the Oakland A's.
You know, I thought that we kind of chase a bit with men in scoring position. I think we kind of expanded trying to do a little bit too much. But I thought, you know, we battled to the end. You know, we got the right guys at the plate when we wanted to, and we just couldn't, you know, we just won those games.
All right, that's Captain Joe Espada. Quite frankly, you just can't lose that game. That was one, and you hear TK, I'm certain he cussed after he got off the air.
Well, this is not good.
That was a good whiskey night for TK.
What is going on?
Hard whiskey and cussing from that one. Cigar, maybe, hopefully, for him. And he
looks like a Sagamore Rye guy.
He does. He really does. And this time he didn't go for the old fashioned mix. He just went for it neat.
Straight small batch rye.
Not even on the rocks, just neat. Yeah, he went for it. But that was a frustrating loss. And I mean, you just can't lose that game to that team. Sometimes to me, Clint, we have conversations of, well, hey man, baseball happens. Baseball happens. To me, I feel like this is a you did yourself in tonight type of a thing. You didn't play great defense. You struggled at times defensively and not making plays. Now, some of it was just kind of the guys you had out there. I think Yiner Diaz, there was a ball hit to first base that I think a lot of first basemen make that play that got under his glove. You heard them on the broadcast talk about it. Three consecutive bunts there in the 12th inning. At all three reach, which, you know, there were plays that could have been made there and things made worse by errant throws. And you know, and then obviously your bullpen, two innings in a row, Clint, gets stops without giving up runs in the 10th and the 11th. And you don't push runners home when you can walk off in a tie ball game. That to me is not just baseball happens. That to me is you could have done more for that game to have another outcome.
Well, it's bad baseball. I mean, it, any way you look at it, it's bad baseball to just send guys up there, just as if the situation hasn't changed, as if the runner getting pushed across the plate doesn't end the ball game. It's bad baseball. It's bad baseball by the manager. It's bad baseball by the players. To not have the mindset of going up there and getting a good at bat and pushing the ball the opposite direction to move a runner from second to third. The thought of going up there, no matter who's at bat, no matter how well they're swinging it, we're just not going to bunt. We're just going to swing away with whoever. It's bad baseball. In my opinion, it's terrible baseball. It's hard to watch baseball. We've watched this team do it. They're 5-10 in extra innings. I don't want to hear nothing about, well, you approach it this way on the road, you approach it this way at home, and Major League Baseball players, they don't bunt anymore. I don't hear all that crap. I mean, to me, it's just bad baseball. If your backup catcher can't lay a bunt down, and it's so bad to where you can't even attempt to lay a bunt down.
That's the one.
That's it for me. I mean, we don't need to get into the conversation about do you bunt Bregman, do you bunt Tucker. I mean, come on, man. No, I'm not. We don't have to be. I'm not extreme. I wouldn't bunt your best hitters. I wouldn't bunt really hot hitters. I mean, but if your backup catcher can't bunt, you said it earlier. If Caratini can't bunt, it's a crying ass shame if your backup catcher can't bunt. But if he can't bunt,
bring Mauricio Dubon.
That's it. Get his ass out of the game. Bring somebody up there that can lay it down. And I mean, it's hard for me to watch, man. And then you turn around and watch the A's do it. And you know, yeah, sure, guys didn't make plays. There were plays there to be made for the Astros on the bunts. But the deal is you forced them to make plays. That you forced a first baseman that's really a catcher. That's playing out of position to make a play. You forced a pitcher that's been sitting in a damn bullpen all night long to come off the mound and make a play, and it didn't happen. You end up scoring not one but two runs because of that approach. It was it was tough for me to watch as a fan, but as a just the way I see baseball and the way I appreciate baseball, good for you, Espada.
Yeah, and for me, and those of you who think that maybe we're making a too big a deal out of it, listen, you guys are as experienced in watching postseason baseball and knowing what postseason baseball is than any fan base around, because of, hell, it's seven effing times, as Verlander
said. Seven times.
You've been in the ALCS and been in the postseason before that.
I'll see you in October.
These games are tight. A lot of times these games are tight, and a lot of them can be decided by bad decisions and one bad play, one bad error, and, you know, 5 and 10 in extra inning games, and not to mention, this isn't just one that snuck up on you. They've just been poor in extra innings for like the last 3 years, it feels like. And then errors, defensive issues. This is how, bam, postseason games could be the difference in you losing or winning a game, and could be the difference in you being out.
Exactly. I told you, Ron. I don't you know really care about the, you know, the defense. I'm not worried about the defense. I think the defense is going to be fine. In postseason, when games matter, look, I understand the rules are different, but my point is if we have a runner on first, if the leadoff hitter doubles, and our mentality is just to go up there and let Gamble and Singleton, and even though Singleton, look, he hit a ball off the wall, I said, great job, but let these guys go up there and just Caratini just swing away.
If we're in the in the eighth inning and beyond in a tie ball game or a game where you're trailing by a run, and Victor Caratini comes up with somebody at second
they ain't
base,
even thinking about it.
Victor Caratini better not just be given the license of, hey man, you go ahead.
Oh, they're thinking about the walk-off season.
Unless Victor is just smoking hot. Unless we roll in here and Victor is 4-for-4 tonight and he comes up there. Nah, Jack, you gotta get that guy over. Tonight though, they'll look to get back into this series and get a win over the A's. Oh, they play pretty well against this year. The lineup is out. Altuve will lead off, play second. And Yordan's going to DH again tonight instead of playing in left field where he's been a lot. He's the DH, batting second. Yainer Diaz moves up to the three spot, Clint, catching with Bregman, staying in that cleanup role at third base again. Big John, shout out to John Singleton with his first career triple last night.
And he bat flipped off.
Yeah, he did. But hey. He bat flipped and he got on his damn zebra.
He got on that horse, didn't he?
Zebra, yeah. For me.
He Big got on man that. Was rolling, man. Got over to third.
He ain't moving as quickly. He got on his zebra though, and got around there and slid. Had a nice little headband. I forgot what it said on it. Like, never give up or something on that headband.
Never surrender.
Never something like that. But he got up. Congratulations to him. He gets a start. And he's at first base, batting fifth. Pena behind him. Gamble. Jake Myers staying in center field, 224. And then Dubon is in left field tonight. So that is the lineup for tonight, where they'll try to get back in it against the A's.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, some news and notes here, Clint. Let's start with some good news. The Texans running back, this isn't a surprise, Joe Mixon. He is named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. After his 159 yards rushing and a touchdown against the Colts, he and that offensive line, as we came in Monday, saying was the difference. If it has to go to an individual, Joe Mixon deserves it. And Clint, it was, and I texted this early before he continued to go off. I think he was at like 38 yards or something. It was clearly night and day. With Joe Mixon compared to the other backs that we had seen all year long.
All offseason. It was night and day with the offensive line based on what we've seen in the past. It was night and day with obviously the running backs when you compare Joe Mixon to anybody else that's toted the rock on this team. And it was impressive. The biggest thing about the run for me, Ron, is how convincing it was because of the offensive line. But there's no doubt about it that Joe Mixon going for 159 And a touch, and
he'll finish a run now. Won't
yes, indeed, absolutely. And then, by the way, a stat that was thrown out there, Everett over there with the with Texans PR, he posted it. I didn't realize this then, but I do now. Obviously, after seeing his post, 101 yards after contact. 101 yards after contact. So as if a buck 59 in the 30 carries, buck 59. As if that's not enough, if that's not impressive enough, my man had a 101 yards, I believe it was, after contact. So, yeah, it was a big day for Joe Mixon. Now, we'll see if the Texans O-line and Joe Mixon can continue this and do it week in, week out the way we see some of the better run teams do in this league. If that's the case, wow.
Look at that. Because that was easy. That was like it looked like they would they wouldn't stop at him.
Well, yeah, it was easy, and then you look at, you know, the way that defensive front was handled. You know, I don't know how they're gonna fare when they bump up against Chris Jones, and like you're like top tier defensive tackles in this league. But after watching this Sunday, I'm pretty confident that, I mean, you got 75, 80, maybe even more percent of these games where. Now the bar is set where you just expect to manhandle folks up front.
Yeah, and when you combine that with him, this looks like this could be something, as you said, coming into the week, can completely change the tenor of this offense and this team. Also, other news here, Jeff Okuda. I'll be honest, I swear to God, I did not see Jeff Okuda play on the field Sunday.
Had to be special teams, right?
Right, had to be. Must have missed. I didn't see 1-3 in there. But apparently, they've placed him on injury reserve. He aggravated an injury, his hip, against the Colts, so he is going to miss some more games, at least 4 games, him going on IR. So Jeff Okuda is injured. You heard it earlier if you were listening to D'Amico. He said it's a tough loss, next man up. They've signed Rashad Weaver to the active roster. And Clint, not only did they sign Rashad Weaver, but they've also signed Desmond King and Troy Pride, who were both in camp all year long, to the practice squad. So it's good to have guys you know that you had all offseason that they come in, but they're a corner down and they bring back Des King. Des King's coming back for more on this thing here.
Trying to get that money.
Des King's coming back.
Get paid, baby.
He got sliced and picked up by Pittsburgh last year and made his way back.
Surviving.
And then he came back after he got sliced to come back.
If Des King gets on the field, he will flash and make plays, boys. We saw that last year. Here's the deal.
He might be active.
Here's the deal. Luckily, we talked a lot about the Texans wide receiver room and how deep they were. We didn't talk enough about how deep they were at defensive back, really the corner position. Cover defenders on this team, I mean, counting the guys that made the team, they were at least 3 deep at the nickel defender position. They were at the corner position, probably maybe even 5 deep at the corner position of guys that, not guys that you want to start, but guys that you feel like could play and you'd be all right with. I mean, they were deep in the secondary, and so if you're going to have an early injury, you just thank the good Lord that it's at a position with Jeff Okuda where it's a backup, not a starter, and it's at a position where you had plenty of depth in training camp, so there's still a couple of guys out there in Troy Pride and Des King that you can go get.
And you can feel comfortable putting them right in.
Yeah, you feel comfortable having to depend on them. Yeah,
the system. So that's the latest there with those guys. Jeff Okuda out. Placed on injury reserve, Des King, Rashad Weaver, Troy Pride could be in the mix at that cornerback position.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, we reported this. Deshaun Watson was accused of sexual assault in 2020. More on that. Deshaun Watson has through Rusty Harden, his attorney, strongly denies accusations in the latest lawsuit. Deshaun, when talked to and given a chance to answer this, said, "I am focused on football." That part, as we know, will take care of itself. We have been well versed in experiencing these situations with Deshaun Watson off the field. But then on the football part, are you in a space where Dan Orlowski is, where he is saying, hey, they need to look at, of all people, Jameis Winston, and they need to take a hard look? Have you reached that point where there, if you were in Cleveland, you'd be calling for Deshaun to be benched?
If we're just talking football, absolutely.
You're talking about football.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I understand the contract, and I understand that they got to try their damnedest to make this thing work, and I understand they can't cut him. You've lost every bit of your joy, by the way. They can't cut him, but they're, if we're just talking football, absolutely. Hell yes. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Jameis Winston's more of a leader than Deshaun Watson is in that locker room. You want to talk about joy. There's no doubt about it that he's bringing more joy and energy and good vibes to the locker room, to the practice field, definitely to the game field. And then you get to the literal football part of it. And as I talked about last week, I sat there and watched Deshaun Watson miss a hot slant. Like, it's like he sees it. It's there. It's one of your go-to receivers, Amari Cooper, one of the best targets in the game. How in the hell do you completely miss him? And then you roll your eyes and, you know, get up and you walk off the field. It's just, they're not going to win football games with him quarterbacking. So, hell yes. If we're talking just football and not bringing all the other crap into the conversation.
The contract is the only thing that's probably right now hanging on.
The only reason he's on the team.
With it.
They would have cut his ass. I mean, look, they like.
Thanks, Cleveland.
They like Jameis Winston. They liked it. What's the kid's name that they got? Yeah, DTR, Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Water has no soul.
Out of UCLA. And they had old buddy that backed up Lamar Jackson the last couple years, Hundley.
Yeah.
They had all three of those guys in camp. They liked all three of those guys.
Right?
They kept four. Well, they ended up. I think Hundley's back in Baltimore.
Is he? Yeah.
So somehow, I don't know if they traded or if they cut him eventually or what happened there. But yeah. So I mean, look, if it wasn't for the contract, I think he would have been cut. I think he'd have been released. He wouldn't be on the team.
Yeah. Well, I think even with the contract, they're gonna have to make a decision because their season might get away if he doesn't. If he doesn't turn,
that season might be worth one season may be worth $180 million.
All right, coming up, we'll head back out to NRG as the quarterback CJ Stroud will get his thoughts to hear what he has to say as he speaks to the media, getting prepared for the Bears. That's coming up next. CJ Stroud,
Stroud House.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in from the text line. Ocho, Ron, can we listen to the sex audio from Shannon Sharpe's IG Live instead of Stroud's pressure? That's coming up at 4:40.
Yeah! So,
I like it nasty on a hump day. That'll be fun.
There. I see what you did there.
That's not coming up at 4:40.
Y'all are filthy,
oh,
man.
Oh, damn it.
Y'all need to grow up, man. Ocho, grow up, man.
I've listened to it three times. No, Ocho.
Nobody wants to hear that on the radio, man.
They want to hear.
Just play it on your phone. Like
they want to hear. You, Ocho, the people we got listening, baby, want to hear CJ now. CJ Stroud, the quarterback here, is they got a big one. They made this a Sunday night football game. Him versus Caleb. It should be fun. This is CJ Stroud, who spoke to the media at NRG.
Outside of just reps, like, what needs to go into those reps in order to gain that trust, like, the intricacies of that, if you
will? I would say it just takes time, but it's really just about communication, being honest, saying what you like, saying what you don't.
Maybe having some technical difficulties
some technical
in there.
Difficulties, all right.
Our system reset. We're good to go now. You
want
to try
again?
We're good
to go. All right, because I was going to say, if we can't, we'll go to Shannon. But, all right, we're back. Here's CJ Stroud.
All right, let's try this again.
Also, just reps. There. Like, what needs to go into those reps in order to gain that trust, like, the intricacies of that, if you
will? I would say it just takes time. But it's really just about communication, being honest, saying what you like, saying what you don't like, and then just the physical reps. So, yeah, I mean, you don't know until you know. Like, it takes until the first couple of games to, like, get a feel for each other. But I feel like we got clicking pretty fast after we, like, stopped shooting ourselves in the foot for so long, so.
CJ, Joe said that he believes y'all are only scratching the surface of what you can do as an offense. Do you see that for your team?
Most definitely. I think watching the film from last week, there was definitely a lot of plays we left on the field. We could clean up a lot of things. I definitely think that we barely show what we got, but it's kind of cool because we still did kind of play pretty good once we stopped shooting ourselves in the foot. The plays that we ran good look great, but the ones that we just barely missed on, like it's like the little small things, if we clean those up, man, I think we would have had a way better day. But definitely great to learn and to win.
What are some of the issues that the Bears defensive backfield
is at? I mean, they play really sound. Of course, they have all the talent in the world. You know, 29 Tariq and Jalen Johnson, number one, are two great corners. They play the ball really well. Kevin Byard has been playing at a high level for a long time. So, and Briscoe, I played in college. He's a dog. I think they had one of the most interception rates last year. And they got two last week. So, you know, got to be cognizant of that and know that you got to be careful with the ball because, I mean, they won the game pretty much on defense last week. So, definitely a great defense, got a lot of respect. You know, can't wait to compete against them.
A year ago, you were in the position Caleb Williams is in now as an instant starter. What do you see from him? What do you like about his game?
I really didn't get to watch much of him. I just watched the defense, but he's definitely a playmaker, somebody who can extend plays and, you know, make all the cool throws. A tough player, take hits, and really just really talented. So, you know, I definitely do think that he has great things coming in his career. And I definitely do think, like, he'll get his rhythm going. And, you know, it takes time. It's not something that doesn't happen overnight. You can see in every quarterback this week, I think, except for probably Baker Mayfield, who looked really good. Everybody's kind of rusty, trying to just, you know, get those kinks out and get that rust away. And I think quarterback play will start picking up week two, week three, week four, just like every year. So I definitely think he'll get his rhythm.
What advice would you give to a guy like Caleb? He was the number one pick. You were the number, you know, two pick. What kind of advice would you give a guy?
Be yourself. Be yourself. Understand whatever got you here is just good enough. You don't got to be superhero. You don't got to try to make all the plays. Sometimes the boring plays are good. That's what the advice I would give to him.
What's it like for you being one of those guys that the younger quarterbacks lean on? Heard Jaden Daniels talk about you, Caleb Williams. You praised Stafford, and he said it was kind of an interesting feeling when people started doing that. What does that feel like for you early on, even though it's kind of a small sample size?
I don't want to say they look up to me. I would just say, like, we're the peers. You know, those are my friends. I mean, Jaden is my friend for sure. And you know, we're very competitive. I know that he always is on my neck trying to catch me. I'm like, all right, but dang. But, no, that's my brother, bro. I'm proud of him. I think he plays solid too. He'll start getting his rhythm going as well. But things like being a rookie quarterback is hard and it's something I don't miss. But definitely something that I did appreciate while I was in it. So, it's an honor to see those guys like try to catch me and try to do what I did last year and better, because I think that's what makes football so special. Is like one year somebody will break those records, somebody will do something special, more special than I did my rookie year, and I'm chasing after guys' second year records, you know, and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's a never ending cycle of just competitive nature, and I love it. You know, that's what football is all about.
Do you know what this will be like in here on Sunday night? It's gonna be rocking. How much do you want to harness the energy of the crowd? How much do you kind of want to stay a little bit lower key so you can operate without getting too amped up?
I'm always going to be myself. I really don't get into the hoopla and away crowd, home crowd. I really don't mind. I just try to execute, do my game, do what I need to do at a high level. I love our crowd. You know, they do a good job of bringing juice and energy. I hope since it's a night game, people come a little earlier. maybe because of the Houston traffic, people come a little late, but... And then on offense, like, they could be quiet a little more. That would help, especially when we're going fast. Like, it'd be hard for the guys to hear me. So I think we can be a little better with that. But, hey, we love the energy.
CJ, when you look at
– this might be hard to remember, but do you recall the first in-depth conversation you had with Joe, either right before he came on the team or after? And what was the message to him when you all thought he could be a huge part of something?
Yeah, it's somebody – when we played him last year, though, we knew that – one of our keys to victory against Cincinnati was, like, stop 28. And I definitely do think, like, I see why we have that game plan in, just because not only is he a great back and he runs hard, but he makes our O-line right a lot and, you know, runs off their blocks, sets blocks up. And we just had a conversation when he knew that he was coming here, that we were just excited to work with one another, being two Cali dudes, you know. And honestly, I mean, we just knew that – we were trying to go win a lot, you know, and that's something that he was used to, was winning in Cincinnati. So he brought that winning fashion in. What he knows what it takes to get all the way to the big one.
You mentioned that earlier about, you know, just building that relationship, continuing to build that relationship with Stephon, but you guys were obviously clicking pretty early, being able to score 2 touchdowns, week one. I mean, it was kind of like the biggest reason for you guys to kind of, in a sense, hit the ground running.
I would say just a lot of work away from the spotlight, you know, him coming to L.A., me going to Paris to see him and throw out there. Just really all the times where nobody sees. So that's where, like, that work, you see it pay off. But I think that was just a little scratch on the surface. There's a ton of plays we left on that field that game, and, you know, I think we'll be a lot better going forward.
When you talk about a guy like Nico Collins, the last 3 times he's played Indy, he's had over 100 yards, he's found the end zone. But with a guy who's coming off a record-setting year, do you believe he's still scratching the surface for what his potential could be in this offense?
Yeah, for sure. I think he's also in his prime as well. Like, you can see just the pressure he puts on defense, how big, how strong he is, how good he is in the run game, run blocking, how fast he is, how he knows how to run every route in the route tree. Like, Nico Collins has no flaws in his game. And he's a great teammate. He loves his teammates, and he's just somebody I love to work with every day. And, you know, I'm really proud of him. I tell him that all the time. And every dollar that we're paying him, he deserves every single cent. So I'm very excited to be a part of his career and to see what he's going to do in the future.
Stephon Diggs mentioned after the last game that obviously you guys are still putting that trust. He kind of made a reference to the game, had a pass across the middle. He was like, I don't know, but he trusted me. As a quarterback, how do you balance trying to make a play while also protecting your players, especially, I imagine, having a split second to kind of decide that?
I would say just repetition and just history. Like, I always tell those guys, I'll try my best to never throw you guys in a headache, because I wouldn't want that done to me, you know what I mean? And I remember watching Brady break down film one time, and there's a lot of defensive calls that get called against the defense, which is really the quarterback's fault for throwing him into bad coverage or, like, not seeing the whole field. So, you know, just like it is for the defenders not to kill defenses guys, which sometimes I don't agree with, because, I mean, that's the nature of the game is, you know, if somebody's willing to get smacked, you got to do what you got to do, set a tone. And it's our job, too, to protect our players. So I'm a firm believer in just having trust from day one on, like, man, CJ's not going to throw me into something that, like, is going to get me hurt. So I definitely do think, like, that's a big thing that I honor myself. Like, I don't want to do that to my teammates ever.
CJ, there was a lot of anticipation about what this offense could be leading into up into that first game. And what was your view of it when you seen it, when y'all got to play in real time that regular season game, finally getting to play at a real pace?
Yeah, it was fun. You know, I think early on, you know, the jitters, they played some different coverages that we didn't think they were going to play, backed up a lot, played a lot of soft zone, and a lot of defenses are going to make us play true and make us methodical, and that's fine. We'll do what we have to do to execute. But I think in that game we learned it's all about us, man. Like, we don't shoot ourselves in the feet. Like, I don't think we're going to be really hard to stop, especially it really starts and really will always be up front. And if our O-line plays like that, man, it's going to be hard for us to lose. And, you know, I definitely do think, like, we have so much left on the bone that we can, you know, still get. And I'm really excited just to keep working with these group of guys. It's really fun just being in here every day with those guys.
You're listening to C.J. Stroud right here live on Sports Radio 60.
Debut, playing a little bit of a new position that he said he didn't have that much time in practice doing. And what does his versatility in this offense do for you guys moving forward?
Yeah, Cade is somebody who's very selfless. He's been like that since I met him, and he's willing to do everything to win. And I think he played great in his first game. It's not easy, you know, going out there not knowing, not getting a whole bunch of reps doing a new position, but he attacked it, and he really just wants to win. And I love that dude, man. And I definitely do think, like, he'll be a huge part to this offense's success.
Thanks. CJ, you talked about building trust, especially with the receivers. Can you talk about what it means to have the relationship with Amico, where you can make the kind of throws to him that at crucial times, and you know that he's going to be in the right place, and he knows you're going to get it to where it needs to be? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think, once again, it's just the time spent when nobody's watching. And in those moments, I think when the pressure is on, is the focus has to go up. So we're all really focused in those moments. And just really know, like, we knew on that play, like, we needed the first down or it was going to be really, really difficult game to win. But we had trust in our defense as well. So, you know, I definitely, trust that guy. I know he trusts me. And I mean, those things are, like I said, just things that you work on when nobody's watching. And it was a hell of a catch. It was a good play by, Jalen Jones, the corner. Played it really well, and they were in clouds, so it's like I really wasn't supposed to throw the ball there, but I trust myself and trust my processing. I think it was just, you know, just really just a play that had to be made, so we went and got it.
There it is, the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. We'll react to some of what he had to say as a finish there, baby. I trust my process, even though that's a ball that's not supposed to be thrown. He talked a lot about Caleb Williams, talked about Nico Collins, said he's got no flaws. We'll react to what CJ had to say coming up as we continue live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. You just heard from the quarterback. Somebody in the text line just said, son of a bitch, fellas. We've got ourselves the next greatness leading our team after listening to C.J. Stroud. He had a lot to say there, as he does each and every Wednesday. I know that last thing he had to say. God, that damn near probably got you football horny if I know you, Clint. The ball wasn't supposed to go there, but I trust my processing. And he said he admitted to being a little rusty.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt he was rusty. I mean, there is no doubt. I gave him a B in grades yesterday. That's on the bar of C.J. Stroud, where he set the bar last year. I was probably a little bit generous now that I've watched the majority of the film and heard from him. You know, there were, because now obviously, you know, it's not just like I just watched him, you know, he missed a Brevin Jordan on a little delay screen that looked like it was going to be very, very promising, to put it nicely. And he just overthrew him. You know, I'm not privy to the information of what he was checking in and out of, you know, what kind of protections, maybe he slid the wrong way versus sliding to the left or right. So, yeah, after hearing him, I was probably a little generous on that B, again, on his standards. So, good to know you can go win a game. You can score 29 points offensively when your quarterback is in that B-minus range and feels like. The one thing that stuck out hearing from C.J. Stroud to me was he mentioned it several times, left a ton of plays on the field. Left a ton of plays on the field. We got to be better.
Probably to some of the things you said also, it's kind of short. Some of the throws that he didn't get completely out there to Nico and Tank.
Yeah, the Nico catch was a nice play on Nico's part, but it was a poorly thrown ball by C.J. Stroud. There was a touchdown to Tank Dell that would have been a walk-in. That was a difficult throw, but we're just used to seeing C.J. Stroud make those throws effortlessly, if we're being honest. And so, you know, those two, the screen pass, you know, there's a couple times where he got pretty antsy in the pocket. You know, I think that's a rust factor, because you can't, especially in 2024, the way they have training camp, you just can't mimic, you can't duplicate like what the pocket's like on a game day. It's loud, it's chaotic. It's easy, if you hadn't done it much, it's easy to get excited with your feet, move too much. C.J. Stroud has actually talked this offseason about one place he wants to get better from last year is move to avoid, move because you feel something, but don't move too much, right? Just little subtle short movements you can protect yourself like that. There was a couple of times where he got really, really jumpy, and I think probably jumped into some pressure. So, for me, just the general overall, Ron, that stood out from CJ was how he felt like they left so much on the field. Still scored 29 points.
And I bet it's probably stuff we don't even we could see some of the stuff that were, you know, incomplete, yeah, or didn't. I'm sure there are other things that he's probably been kicking himself watching film and seeing that they left out. And hopefully they can fix those things coming up. He he is really impressed with Nico.
Mm-hmm.
Nico Collins, he said of Nico Collins, he doesn't have any flaws.
Yeah.
Says, you know, he's gaining confidence. You can, he can do everything in the
Nico
route.
Nico has got him on fire, baby.
And I'll be honest with you, that was something even I was, you know, had a little bit more belief in Nico initially than you did coming into last year. But I didn't think, you know, he could kind of do everything. He's shown here in the last year and, you know, and the first game of the season that he can go up and get the ball. He can break tackles. He was doing some moves. Absolutely. Stuff last year.
Yeah.
He is, even with his size, he is showing that he can run the entire route tree and do whatever's asked of him.
Absolutely. There are no flaws in Nico Collins' game. He is his play has earned that level of respect. There's no flaws in his game. Again, like I said the other day, the only thing we haven't seen him do is the back shoulder 50-50 ball, which a lot of these offenses in today's game, hell, we saw the Giants act like it was something that just everybody can do. They tried to throw him to about five or six different receivers. So it's a big part of the NFL in 2024. It's just not a big part of what the Texans do. So that's the only thing that wide receivers do that we haven't seen Nico Collins do, and he's not asked to do it. It's only because he's not asked to do it. I think usually that's a tad bit much for me is when you start talking about no flaws, zero flaws, but he's right. He's spot on. Nico can run the route tree. Nico is using his body well, both in run after catch, being hard to tackle, as well as going up and catching balls in traffic like we saw Sunday. I think the one thing that we haven't seen from Nico that I believe is real, I just trust my eyes, is I said about midway through camp, Ron, you and I had a conversation. Like, I've seen a different level of speed from Nico. I know we saw Nico catch a screen here at home. He did some things last year to where you go, yeah, Nico can move for a big fella. I mean, I'm talking about there were times in training camp where it was like elite speed of just leaving guys, like leaving DBs convincingly. And we didn't get a chance to see that Sunday, obviously. I would imagine we're going to see it at some point in time. And I'm not talking about catching a ball underneath and breaking tackles and going up the sideline. I'm talking about flat. The guy that does it, when I think football, the guy that does it right now better than anybody is Mike Evans. When he gets one-on-one coverage and the ball's in there, he separates. It's crazy at his age he still runs as well as he does. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. Nico's got that in his game. I've seen it at training camp. We just hadn't seen it on game day yet.
Yeah, he's completely looked like a different player the last couple of years. So CJ Stroud, as he spoke to the media today, and that's every Wednesday. You hear from D'Amico and CJ Stroud, and we'll carry that for you coming up. He talked about his advice to Caleb. We'll see. I'm intrigued to see what Caleb looks like. I mean, that was a 93-yard performance that first game, and we'll get into him and what the Texans have to deal with moving throughout the week as we're getting closer to game day. But I would – like, it can't get worse, right? Caleb's got to – he got to be better than what he was in the last game. You would think maybe first game jitters –
It's really the reality of it is the bar is it, for all these young guys. I don't think any of them played really well in their first game. And look, CJ didn't play great in his first game last year.
And then he took a jump in the second.
And then he took a jump in game two. Like, but the reality is everybody thinks because CJ did it, it's easy. And I warn people. I did this when CJ was doing it. I was telling you, it's rare. It's wild. It's crazy. Like, to expect these guys, these youngsters, to come in and play anywhere remotely close to as well the way that CJ played last year is unfair. Now Caleb may get better, and Caleb's going to be more of a highlight reel type thrower, you're going to see some different things. But to think that somebody's going to come in and do anything remotely close to what CJ Stroud did as a rookie for these rookies, it's unfair. It's simply unfair, without a doubt.
Yeah, he threw the ball 29 times for 93 yards.
It was rough. It was rough. There ain't no doubt about it.
Yeah, in his defense, Keenan Allen dropped a touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. But damn, man, they dropped back 29 times. He didn't crack 100. That's a rough one. All right, what you got coming up in the four?
Well, I broke down the all 22, y'all. I've had some time to take a peek at the film, and I got a couple of things that are going to surprise you. It's always good to look at the all 22s when they drop and take a peek back at last week's game. Because that big eye in the sky don't lie, baby. So I got a couple of takeaways on that all 22. And Ron, I know you told your bride yesterday, man. Happy anniversary. Well, Old Dirty's coming in. I got to apologize to mine. I think I pissed mine off. I don't think. I know I pissed mine off this morning.
You don't think.
So, yeah, I mean, so look, I got to apologize and be a man and
that's pitiful.
And do it publicly as I possibly can. So, if you listen, if you know my wife, let her know I got an apology coming up here shortly. So, we'll do all that next right here on Sports Radio 610.